This pandemic year, the most catastrophic 12 months in the history of movie theaters, has also been a banner year for diversity at the Oscars. Critic Bob Mondello thinks those two things might be related.
The one thing you don't want if you're in charge of the Oscars is a hashtag, especially something like Oscars So White, as host Chris Rock acknowledged in his opening monologue the year that one went viral.
It's the 88th Academy Awards, which means this whole no black nominees thing has happened at least 71 other times.
That was 2016, and things didn't change much at first. Last year's Oscars were again among the least diverse in recent memory. Only one of 20 acting nominees was non-white. This year, by comparison, 9 are, almost half the nominees. Then there was the hashtag OscarsSoMale, which Frances McDormand riffed on in her Best Actress acceptance speech in 2018.
If I may be so honored to have all the female nominees in every category stand with me in this room tonight. The actors, Meryl, if you do it, everybody else will, come on. The filmmakers, the producers, the directors.
Dozens of women stood, but again, it didn't initially have much effect. Last year, just as in 86 of the 91 previous years, not a single woman director was nominated, even though McDormand had closed out this speech, urging her colleagues to insist on women behind the camera by adding a clause to their contracts.
I have two words to leave with you tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Inclusion Rider.
McDormand took her own advice, and this year, what a difference a pandemic makes. She produced as well as starred in Nomadland.
Hey, Linda.
A film based on a book by a woman, featuring the stories of quite a few women, and scripted, edited, and directed by Chloe Zhao, who for the first time in Hollywood history is a woman competing with a second woman in the directing category. As for the unprecedented number of actors of color among the nominees, it represents a remarkable moment of recognition, vibrant performances in the true stories of celebrated African-American figures from Black Panther Fred Hampton in Judas and the Black Messiah. To blues legend Lady Day in The United States versus Billie Holiday.
I think we should integrate the audience for this show. Blacks and whites sitting together.
To Malcolm X, Jim Brown, and Sam Cooke celebrating with a pal in One Night in Miami.
I'm the new heavyweight champion of the world, and I don't even have a scratch on my face.
Oh my goodness.
Cash. What's on, Cash?
Why am I so pretty?
Also fictional characters in Ma Rainey's Black Bottom.
They want to call me Mother Blues, that's all right with me.
And the story of Korean immigrants in Minari.
Grandma smells like Korea.
Yeah.
Eye-opening everyone, and taken together, a clear sign that this is a year of inclusion for the Academy. But not necessarily because Tinseltown has awakened to the virtues of diversity. These are the films that studios decided to open in the middle of a pandemic, a decision that they knew would have financial consequences. Films usually get an Oscar bounce from being nominated, a bump in ticket sales that in a normal year can amount to many millions of dollars and give a film far more reach. Last year's Best Picture is a case in point.
And the Oscar goes to Parasite.
The film was playing in 300 theaters before it was nominated. Following the award,
Parasite is the first film not in the English language to win Best Picture.
Its run in the U.S. expanded to 5 times as many theaters. But this year, with cinemas mostly closed and audiences skittish about crowds, that box office bounce doesn't exist. If you take all 8 of the current Best Picture nominees and combine their earnings, the total comes to barely $35 million worldwide. That would be an unimpressive number for one nominee in a normal year. So to compete for an Oscar this year, a filmmaker had to make an almost Faustian bargain. Come out mid-pandemic for awards consideration and lose your shirt, or sell your soul for box office after the pandemic and lose your shot. Many of the films regarded as Oscar shoe-ins decided to wait. A new version of the musical West Side Story, for instance, with a script by Pulitzer winner Tony Kushner, directed by Oscar winner Steven Spielberg. Also postponed, the star-studded costume epic The Last Duel from Gladiator director Ridley Scott, and The French Dispatch, the latest weirdness from Wes Anderson, director of Grand Budapest Hotel.
You don't think it's almost too seedy this time?
I'm naked, Mrs. Clemons.
I can see that.
These films were all shot, edited, and ready to go in time for Oscar consideration, but their studios opted to wait. From a financial perspective, it's easy to see why. Until a couple of weeks ago, New York and Los Angeles, the two markets that make or break prestige pictures, were still not allowing theaters to open. Almost as bad, the theaters elsewhere that were open were reducing attendance to as little as 25% of capacity. That scared off even the commercial crowd.
Where's 007?
He wasn't at the multiplex, nor were Marvel superheroes or the Fast and Furious crew. If they weren't willing to brave the crippling pandemic economics at cinemas, why should Oscar hopefuls? So, when filmmakers had the clout to say, let's wait, they did. And who had that clout? The same mostly male, mostly white, stars, producers, and studio heads who've always had it. Who apparently didn't have that clout? Well, start with the women who made Nomadland and Promising Young Woman, or the Korean-American director of the low-budget indie Minari, or even the well-connected folks behind Judas and the Black Messiah.
These ain't no terrorists.
The first all-black producing team ever nominated for Best Picture.
You can murder a liberator, but you can't murder a liberation.
They told The Hollywood Reporter they'd originally hoped their film would perform about as well as Straight Outta Compton, which earned $200 million worldwide. The pandemic lowered that estimate, and Warner's decision to stream all its films the same day they hit theaters lowered it further. Left with no choice but to go along, instead of $200 million, Judas and the Black Messiah has made less than $6 million.
I pledge allegiance to my black people.
It's not easy to imagine a Steven Spielberg being put in that position. Is this another way of saying Hollywood's power and privilege still resides mostly with white men? The power to maximize box office, the privilege of making event pictures so expensive they can't be treated as loss leaders for streaming services? Well, sure. But while dollars are important, for filmmakers who have traditionally been marginalized, they are not all important. This pandemic year will go down in history as the year without blockbusters, not one single billion-dollar superhero epic or action adventure. But it will also be remembered as a watershed for inclusion. The Motion Picture Academy has already made history by nominating the most diverse slate of actors ever, as well as a record number of women.
I need work. I like work.
Had studios thrown their weight behind the usual big-budget spectacles, that might not have happened. By letting less expensive, more socially conscious films lead the way back to cinemas, studios have, possibly inadvertently, ended up championing work that speaks to this moment. The blockbusters will return, along with, no doubt, a lot of the inequities that seem wedded to the cash they generate. In the meantime, though, audiences get to celebrate artists for whom the recognition that awards bring arguably has far greater value than dollars. I'm Bob Mandela.